Valuetown is a production of ChamMV TV. Find out all show information and details at chamMV.tv. Valuetown is directly supported by listeners like yourself via patreon.com/valuetown. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 141 of Valuetown. I'm Chanman V, and joining me today, of course, is Jackie and Allie. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Just chilling. Hello.
I'm doing very well.
Good. And then we've got like a two-headed monster here today that we have the aunt and Dr. Jikaninki.
Oh my gosh,
man. I used to say it so well, too. It's so embarrassing. Holy smokes. But how are you guys doing over there?
Yeah, we're doing great.
Doing pretty good, yeah. Enjoying ourselves, yeah.
Okay, good. Nice to not have to play, I guess. Just kind of going and watching. But we'll kind of get into that right now. Are you guys in a hotel right now? Is that the deal? Or?
Yeah, okay. We're here for the HGT summer.
All right, cool. Very, very good. Very good. But anyways, thanks everybody for tuning in. I just want to start off by saying that this episode is sponsored by Greats Shoe. And if you guys are not familiar with that, Greats, it's a sneaker company that you can go to greats.com and check out all their various selections of awesome shoes. But we'll be definitely telling you some more about the company. But big thanks to them just for sponsoring this episode to start off with. Shoes are great, right? What a great brand. Great shoes. Great.
Yeah, I've been wearing them, but I love them. So.
Exactly. Let's see. We've got a lot to talk about today, just as usual. It's so funny when we're planning these shows because it's like we always plan these shows a day or two before, and me, Allie, and Jackie get together and be like, man, how are we going to fill this episode? And then by the time we get to Wednesday, it's like, oh my God, this show is so insane. Yeah. But of course, we're going to start off with our week in Hearthstone, as always. And I'm going to touch on some HCT summer because that's where the Ant and Dr. J are right now. A little bit of news to talk about with BlizzCon and some cool things that our Blizzard are giving to people. It's amazing. And then, of course, Mechatorps Workshop, underrated and debated. And host challenge, deck of the week, Q&A at the end, as always. But let's start out with our week in Hearthstone. So this is for those of you that maybe have never listened to the show or watched the show. This is where we talk about what we've been doing. And we've been starting off the last few weeks with talking about October Brawl. So given that this was the last week of the grudge matches, figured we talk about it. Given that Jackie and Allie played each other again, back-to-back weeks. Yep. So that was an odd order, you know, which they selected. How was that? Because I didn't see the beginning of the broadcast. How was that order selected for this week?
We didn't really have a say on the order. Okay. They just told us who we were playing.
So. They just kind of told us, you're playing at this time. We're like, okay.
okay, so. Good stuff. But you guys ended up memeing, given that I think the match was already decided, given that Team Void won the first two. But because of that, we actually had a very entertaining match. I think a more entertaining match because there wasn't anything huge at stake there. So how was that? Because you guys look like you were having a lot of fun playing.
Yeah, it was really great. I think because like Tides and Dog had already won, so we already knew that Void had won. I was like, screw it, let's just go full meme. Like I had kind of like meme decks prepared and then like good decks prepared as well. So I was like,
oh, you did?
Well, okay. Yeah, I did. So like if the game really mattered, I was gonna kind of like play like try hard a little bit. But then it didn't matter, so it was full meme. It was great.
Yeah, see, I had a really good shaman deck with like a double tunnel trog, double totem golem.
Oh my god.
It was amazing. And you know, I decided to meme instead because, you know, Team Light had already lost, so it played Reno Paladin. And
for the people, right?
It was probably it was probably the most fun series I've ever played. It was really fun.
Archbishop Benedictus. Yeah,
and
oh my god.
Dr. J, did y'all watch that at all?
I like saw a little bit of it. I saw like towards the end of it, but I didn't see as much. I wasn't really like focused on it because I was getting ready for other stuff.
Yeah. I'm pretty sad I missed it. It sounds like a
blast. That's so funny. Oh, my God. Then their first game, it was, I think, Jackie, you're playing a Warlock, right? That was it the Warlock?
Ali was playing Warlock.
No, Ali was playing Warlock, Priest. Right? Yeah, and you were playing Priest. And it was funny because it was like Ali had, she had more cards in her deck, and it looked like Jackie was milling out. So
I would have won for sure.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, Ali's gonna win this because Jackie's gonna run out of cards. And then boom, like Archbishop and it's just like totally flipped the board on like the number of cards left in the deck. So then Ali was having to play a little bit different strategy at that point.
I was so mad because I was playing for tempo more so than tapping. Yeah. You know, because I had a decent curve in the beginning, and obviously I would have been tapping a lot more if I'd known you were going to steal my deck. So,
Mr. Steal Your Deck.
That's right.
Mr. Steal Your Deck.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, it got very lucky, though. Like, in the last match, we were playing, like, Renounced Darkness, and then I just got, like, insane draw into,
You did a lot better with Renounced this time around instead of getting, you know, the triple
he got
one.
The Death Knight.
I know, he got Death Knight. That was so awesome.
A Lich King, two Ayas. It was
it was sick. Yeah. It was sick.
I guess you don't, right?
You don't.
Anyways, it was a lot of fun. Obviously Team Void with another Sabotage that we're gonna get a chance to see in the coming weeks, almost like roughly a week from today at TwitchCon. Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna be at TwitchCon, you'll get a chance to see what these crazy things are, blindfolds or hands behind your back. I don't even know what they're going to be, but it's going to be crazy.
We don't even know.
Yeah, yeah. I think I heard Frodan saying, like, on the broadcast, so one of them that he suggested was playing with the monitor upside down, but that one didn't go through.
Oh, my God.
So it's definitely...
Oh, yeah, no. I heard it on the rat race. He's talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it should be...
That would have been entertaining.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely entertaining.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Okay, so why don't we talk about some of the decks or maybe some of the things that we've been doing this week. And Dr. J, like I know you guys have been playing or not really playing, but doing that whole mock championships, right? Getting some of the players like Orange ready for obviously HCT Summer. So I thought that was really cool, Ant, that you organized that, and kind of want to ask you about it. Like, what made you decide to do that and then just round up a bunch of the guys to help out with it?
Well, I think like it kind of reminds me of like back in 2014, we always did like practice tournaments with Firebat and stuff. And like recently he's been doing just like best of fives. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of wanted to bring back like the eight mans. And so I did that for like playoffs. And then I was like, man, it'd be really cool if we just like had a mock HCT, kind of played it out and see, maybe get an idea of something that would happen. And, so I started trying to get guys together and, play it out, and it's turned into this really cool thing, I think. I know a lot of the players that enjoyed it, at least.
Yeah. No, I think it was good practice, too,
definitely.
At least Orange. Who ended up winning, by the way?
It was Noblord playing as Tom60229, which was completely unexpected, because it's really hard to believe that the guy who has Reno Mage in his deck or in his lineup is going to win. But,
right.
I mean, I guess he had the read, because... It's like actually not terrible in his group. Like, it looks like it's pretty good for him to get out of his group.
Someone with Hunter actually made top four, didn't it? Mega Zero, by someone. So the lone Hunter actually made top four as well.
Yeah. That was like, which region was it that Hunter did super well? I can't remember.
It was NA.
NA.
Because Gate Tears and Nalgaid and Gold brought it.
Exactly. So that's kind of funny. And for those of you wondering what we're talking about, Ant, ended up gathering a bunch of pros to put together a mock championship because the deck lists are actually out. So each person assumed, one of the players that are in there, except for Orange played himself, obviously.
Oh, yeah, Yatir's also played himself.
Oh, Yatir, yeah.
He wanted to play somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyways, they all assumed their own, or at least if you could, assume their own identities, while everybody else assumed somebody else's. So it was a pretty good, simulation of what might be going on. Is the actual draw out there too? I didn't see who was playing who first. Like, were you able to?
Yeah, like groups and everything are out.
Okay, I didn't see the draw, so I didn't know if you guys had simulated that too. That's cool.
Yeah, that's why. Like, I specifically gave Zalay Purple's deck list, because Purple was talking to me, thinking about like how his group isn't very good for him. It's like, all right, let's give it to Zalay and see what he can do, because I know Zalay works with Purple and that he's a pretty good pilot. He'd be a pretty good pilot for the lineup.
Yeah.
And I want to see if like Zilli can make it out of the mock HCT group. Yeah.
You made top four? Okay, nice. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't we definitely we'll be talking about HCT in just a second. But before we do, I kind of wanted to see. Uh-oh, I hear myself. I hear myself again. Let me mute it for a second. But yeah, before we do, let's talk about some of the decks. Maybe Jackie and Allie have been playing this week. So Allie, what have you been playing this week?
Oh, I've been trying to make Elemental Shaman work so much, guys. It's just not going the way I wanted it to. When I was playing at a little bit of like lower ranks, I actually was doing better with Elemental Shaman than I was with Evolve Shaman. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh yes, next broken deck. No.
No.
It didn't go well. The day before I had like a 50% win. Yeah. Yesterday I had like 30% win rate. But besides that, I was playing combo Dragon Priest. That one I've actually been having quite a bit of luck with. Really fun, just like Inner Fire, you know, Divine Spirit, standard kind of combo Dragon Priest, and
right.
It's been a lot of fun. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if we can take a look at like maybe a couple of these. Where's the Dragon Priest? There it is. Okay. Yeah. So these are the two decks you've been playing. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I played a lot of the Elemental Shaman last week, and I didn't play it as much this week. So maybe there's been like a little bit of a switch. You definitely have a lot more removal in it than I did. So mine was just very much get tempo. If you don't, then you're totally screwed.
I ran into so much aggro. So I felt like I needed Maelstrom Portals and Lightning Storms.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Elementals are pretty strong. Like what were you... What do you think it is that lets the deck down?
I just was dying to aggro. Like, I couldn't draw my board clears. But in general, I do think it's pretty strong. And I was surprised at how many priests I beat with it.
Yeah. Like, priests,
the Jade element, I think, is relatively strong against
I killed against priests. And Kalamos gives you heals. And, I mean, there's a lot of surprising ways that it ends up beating it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to try it again this week and see, you know, against, just the current meta or what's been popular recently. Either you guys played any Elemental Shaman?
No, I haven't played it at all. I think I've seen actually Allie played it quite a bit and it looked pretty fun, but I actually got to play it myself, sadly.
No, yeah, I haven't played it either. I really haven't really played like anything besides like what's considered like I guess tier one decks. I try and venture off and play fun stuff.
Typical
really
pro,
hard.
Man. Totally the typical pro. No, it's cool. It's totally cool. The Dragon Knight looks pretty cool. Interesting too. It looks pretty standard, kind of like what we would expect from a Dragon Priest. But I think right now, both of these are very mid range-ish decks. So maybe it's a decent time for that. Aren't too fast either. We're a little bit more value based mid range decks.
Dragon Priest seems pretty good, right? Like if like Razakus Priest wasn't a thing, do you think Dragon Priest would be popular?
Could be.
I mean, I think it does pretty well against Razakus Priest, just in general.
I think I have a very good chance. I mean I would like in this list to see like Scalebane, just because it's really good against Razakus Priest and it's like super aggressive. But if Razakus Priest wasn't a thing, I could definitely see
I think there are several priests that would be something if it wasn't for Kazakh's priests. So that's what's kind of sad about it. Priests is so rich right now. Yeah, we have only one of them that's kind of taking over. Jackie, you had go ahead. Allie?
Oh, I was just going to say the deck struggles against aggro a little bit, but with the double Galactic Crawler, it makes a huge difference, obviously.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, my gosh. I played two games earlier today. And in both games, they played a Corsair that had patches, and then they played Double Galaga to kill their own pirates. Seriously, dude? Twice. It happened twice in a row. That was like, what are the odds of that? Really crazy. Jackie, you have a Quest Hunter you were playing this week, right? Which is like, wow. Quest Hunter.
I've been trying like loads of different types of Quest Hunter for like the past like 3 or 4 days, and like desperately trying to make something that can kind of work, but it's the thing. It's like the most fun deck to play. It's super fun because obviously once you got the Karnassi, you got your raptors in your deck, and you just chain all these raptors, do crazy things with Rhino. You've got the Death Knight, which is really fun as well. And this is the list that I was most happy with of all the lists I came up with. I was pretty happy with this. You've got like the Igneous, which can give you more one drops. And I feel like in the early game, you just want to try and like be defensive. But this was pretty good against Priest as well, because you just, once you've got your raptors in your deck, you just keep
just chaining.
You don't run out of stuff, right, basically.
Right, yeah, exactly. And this is a Kel'Seth deck too. Just, you know, last week obviously we talked a lot about Kel'Seth, so totally makes sense given that there's like 15 ones. There might even be 18 ones in this deck, which is pretty awesome. Yeah, I think Quest Hunter is one of those things where unbelievable that people thought it was going to be too powerful, but I just don't know if it's ever going to be good. It's going to be so tough. I don't know, any kind of angles that you guys can see for Quest Hunter ever being good? Maybe if they added something, that what do you think they could add to make Quest Hunter good?
I mean, I guess it would have to be like better one drops, right? Yeah. Or like, I guess maybe a draw engine.
It had to be like Jeweled Makar, or like a one mana 1/1 that just draws one mana 1/1s, like multiple Firefly-esque effects.
Yeah.
And even then, it's like once you get to the end, it's like, sometimes you'll just try and chain raptors, which is like the point of the deck, but then you'll like whiff on a raptor and then you're just sad.
Yeah. That's the thing about it. It's like the reward isn't that...
It's not that great.
Great. You know, it's not really a finishing move type of thing. But if you think about most of the quests, you know, like at least half of the class quests were not great finishers anyways, right? So... I don't know. I think Hunter just kind of got the short end of the stick there. It definitely made up for it with the Death Knight in a way. But yeah, with a quest, it's just not meant to be. I mean, you have to have like great sequence of events for it to actually be finishing somebody. So
yeah,
it's fun though. Definitely a challenge.
It's very fun. It's very fun.
Yeah.
I admire the deck experimentation though, Jackie.
Yeah. Always.
It's my job, right? Making bad decks.
Always. Making bad decks. Good. No, so I want to pose a question to you guys because I just don't get it. Completely, at least. But what's with all the meat wagon decks, man? I mean, you know, we were, you know, I think first off, we were looking at Toast, I mean, Nostum's meat wagon deck. obviously it's become like a thing now, like in all of the community where people are playing meat wagon decks. I think I saw Firebat even post one earlier today. So what's going on with meat wagon? Anybody know? Like suddenly like people just love playing it? Is it actually good?
I mean, I think Dr. J knows.
I mean, stakes have been high during the off season. So it's when you have beef with other players and you really think the stakes are higher, you just show them what's up. You gotta bring the best decks. So I mean, I can't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, some of these decks, I don't know, they've been grade A at times, but I don't know. For the most part, mine are grade F. Meat wagon decks. I've been pretty curious given that we've had a little bit, we've always had a lot of people playing it, we've had a little drama surrounding it, so who knew that Meat Wagon would be such, you know, just a card that would stir the pot a bit.
You know, I'd like to meet Nostum and ask him like what he was thinking.
exactly. Why don't we show like the deck here, let me see if I can find it real quick here. Here we go. Yeah. So those of you people are wondering, what are you guys talking about? So anyways, Meat Wagon is one of the new cards that, actually, let me bring up the text, because I don't think I recall the text exactly. Don't want to get it wrong.
Didn't Jackie rap about Meat Wagon?
Oh, yeah. Man, that was your card, Meat Wagon.
Yeah.
Make it a bit of a scene.
Dude, we got the OG on the show. What are we talking about? The Meat Wagon OG. This is crazy.
Yo, I meant in the rap as well, I mentioned Summoning Portal in it, and that makes me happy. And also, Firebat was playing... Yeah, he's playing Coldblood Maligos, and I mentioned that in the rap as well.
Oh, really?
Nally me.
You feel good.
Nally me. Oh, man. Yeah, so anyways, Meat Wagon, guys, is 4 mana, Death Rattle, summon a minion from your deck with less attack than this minion. So that's why things like the portal, the summoning portal and things like that are in the deck. So it's been a lot of fun. And it's just like, the real question was just whether it was actually good, you know, and or is it purely just a meme deck? People have been climbing with it, right?
I mean, summoning portal is, when you actually get the summoning portal off the meat wagon, it's actually surprising how good it is, how, because you have a lot of minions in your deck and you have all these cheap taunts. And you can just build, you can just get a huge tempo swing with the summoning portal. But I think kind of once people know what they're up against, it's a lot easier to play around.
Yeah.
Like you can just ignore the meat wagon or kill the meat wagon off and make sure that you can deal with the summoning portal. And then it's just, and it's basically just a control warlock, which is okay.
Well, I mean, control warlock is pretty good actually right now. So yeah, we were kind of talking about it last week, right? It's like everybody's talking about, you know, just the Death Knight and Cruel and things like that. But it's like, you know, warlock's just pretty good right now. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's rising too. Allie, you play any meat wagon at all?
I have not played any meat wagon decks, but I'm inspired to do so. So maybe I'll try a list out on my stream.
You know, Meat Wagon could have been an underrated and debated, but it's been destroyed now, like completely destroyed as a potential one just because everybody's playing it now.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of fun. Okay, well, why don't we move on? Why don't we talk about just a little bit more community news? And I think the biggest thing is just the HTT Summer. Given that you guys are there, you know, one of the biggest things to talk about is just this is going to be the first Hearthstone event in the new arena. And Allie has been to the new arena. So yeah, and obviously you guys have been outside the new arena, apparently. Haven't actually got a chance to get inside because of lockdown. But Allie, like, how's the new arena look just in person?
It's really, really cool. I went before the Overwatch event, so they had it all set up for Overwatch, and they had a lot of just everything kind of open, so I kind of walked around and got to see everything. It's really awesome. It seats about 450 people, I think.
Oh, wow.
And
you could get chairs on the floor too. So you could actually get more than 450.
Probably. You probably can get more than 450. Yeah. The auditorium seats were 450. Mm-hmm. And someone said that they have events booked every weekend for the next year and a half.
What?
So clearly,
that's pretty insane.
Isn't that insane?
Right? Yeah.
So, but apart from that, you know, they've got Blizzard, you know, an Overwatch decal surrounding the elevators. Like, it's just so Blizzard. It's really, really cool. You guys will have to tell me what you think of it when you go see it this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see it themed for Hearthstone, given that, you know, the Overwatch one was very much the Overwatch tables we've seen in the past and just the whole blue and all that stuff. So I wonder what it's going to look like for HTT.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Okay, so choose your champion. Of course, it's that time of year again, or that time of the season again to actually choose. All right, we gotta tell us who the champion that you chose was, because I'll start off. I usually choose my heart, so I would have chosen like purple or orange or, you know, just one of the color guys. But this time, because I've had like zero luck, I've literally gotten... might have gotten zero packs for like the last year now. I decided just to go with the safer pick with Pavel. So Pavel's probably... Okay. I don't know if that's good luck for Pavel or not that I'm picking you, buddy, but I'm hoping that it is. And I'm hoping you'll continue your normal consistency. But Jackie, who'd you pick?
I went with purple.
Okay.
Did go one of the color guys.
One of the color guys. Okay, cool. You know, trash talker purple, definitely tickling Jackie's fancy there. Allie, how about you?
Yeah, I went with Pavel as well.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Ant and Dr. J, these are the interesting picks right here.
Okay. You start off.
I start off? All right. Yeah, so I was like, I actually saw a YouTube video and it was talking about like how to get free packs. And like conveniently, it forced me to pick Pavel. I think Pavel is actually the creator of the YouTube video. But I went with Pavel, and I thought the YouTube video was just the highlight of it. It's just he's a good guy. I know him because I played alongside him at HCT Winter, and he's just a great guy. I enjoyed talking to him, so that's why I picked him.
I actually chose I don't know. It's like Royal Bites.
Oh, wow, Bites. Wow. Yeah, based. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Girl power, man. Totally.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Huh. I was like, man, this is a bold move, right? I support this. You get have my choice.
Dude, you are on record.
Give me one or five.
You are right. If she ends up winning, then Ant is just genius, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
She's going off the Pavel first round, though.
I calculated it. Yeah, Pavel's going down. We already know.
Man, I'm telling you, man. It's just been so brutal for me. Not getting any packs. That please, Pavel. Like I totally would have rooted.
please,
put me out of my misery, please.
Midwagon's an epic. I need to pull it.
Oh my god. Okay. That's awesome. All right. Why don't we talk about some of the decks, given that you guys simulated them? Mostly just anybody bringing very interesting deck to the mix. I listed a couple. I think. What do I have now? Now Guiden has a giant mage. And then Amix has a control pally. I thought that was interesting. You guys mentioned Tom's deck, which I think we glanced at too the other day when we were looking through these. But yeah, like anything like super stand out to you guys?
Aggro Paladin.
Yeah, this is.
There's an aggro Paladin. It's just
okay. Whose is it?
That's interesting.
It's
Kokosasa.
Yeah, I believe.
Kokosasa. All right.
Yeah.
If it's not, there is
Aggroden.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He's like, let's play some Kalista.
And let's play some Kalista.
Some divine favors.
This is, wow. Yeah, this is like old school.
Pretty aggressive.
What else was there? Was there something besides the Rainbow Mage that was kind of crazy? Oh, Royal Bases Shaman has some very interesting cards.
Very interesting. You know, you won't believe number three.
Let me check it out.
Number three.
Involved Shaman?
Yeah,
look for that number Revelation. Three drop.
Oh, three drop.
Manitai's not there.
What is it?
Oh, Prince. Okay.
Prince Tolerant.
Oh, she's just going for Jade synergy there, right? Okay. There are a lot of hits.
There's also double Cult Master and double Master of Evolution.
Yeah. This is,
oh my god.
It's really out there.
Oh, the best combo is to go Cult Master and then Prince Tolerant on the Cult Master and then just draw cards.
Well, no. I mean, my favorite is go Prince Tolerant on patches and just
hit them. Prince Tolerant on patches and you push 12 damage.
There you go.
Just keep going.
They just never kill it.
Right? Wow. I thought you were going to do Prince Tolerant on Aya.
That's also good.
Prince Tolerant's good. Or any minion you evolve. If you evolve Karen, what if Prince Tolerant the Karen?
Yeah, that's a disappointing.
Totems, Primals and Totem. You can also use it on enemy minions, right? You can also use it on enemy minions.
Can you use it on enemy minions?
Yeah, you can. So if you don't have Tyrion on the board, you can use it on their Tyrion.
I didn't know that.
Wait, what are we talking about here?
If your deck has no three-cost cards, transform into a copy of a minion.
A minion. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm excited to see this in action.
Oh, my God. Dang. That's crazy.
Yeah, she's
Pommel that is that.
Wait, why is that?
I think they're playing each other first round.
Royal Bays and Pavel are playing each other first round.
The Royals playing Pavel first round? That sucks. Oh,
she can take him down, I believe.
I almost have to root for myself against myself. This is ridiculous. What am I thinking? I totally should have looked at the brackets beforehand. Crap, man. Let's see. So the other one that we were looking at was the, I think I mentioned the Alguiden giant control mage.
That's pretty cool.
Oh my goodness. This is like old schoolish looking with arcane giants and. Mm-hmm.
I think they would call it like big mage, something like that.
Big easy
big mage.
Big mage.
So what? How many big minions do you have to be considered a big deck?
You just have the
giants. This is just a trivia question, right? Because you know we've got big priests. I mean, but big priest, big druid. I mean, we're talking like you know walk of the giants. You know, like there's like 10 minions that are huge. How many we got here? We got four. Does Medivh even count as a big guy, a giant?
Yeah.
Medivh is a big guy.
All right. I'll give Medivh, Chief. 7-7, I guess, is the cutoff. So, four. Okay, so are we saying four is enough?
That's a big card.
Okay. So, I guess four is enough to be a big deck then. So, all right. So, big mage
this
here.
Actually,
yeah.
A little like interesting of a list, because I feel like normally when you play Arcane Giants, it's like very tempo oriented, and this has got like blizzards in it and frost novas. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very kind of freeze magey.
Yeah, it's exactly. Freeze magey, yeah. But typically
I think freeze magey is actually pretty good right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think
much about giants though.
I still think the giants are tempo.
Are giants in control mage?
Freeze mage also gets better if we see Zulok becoming better, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure how much better with Bloodreaver Gul'dan Zoo is against freeze mage, but typically freeze mage has just always been good against Zoo because they have to keep tapping. So, like, I mean, part of the reason to start bringing like mages like this is because not only will it beat shamans, it'll also beat the Zoos. And that's becoming two popular decks. I don't know how it does against Rogue, but it might also be Rogue. Actually,
I think it does pretty well against Rogue as well.
It's good against Rogue. It's good against Rogue.
Yeah.
I like this list, actually. It's probably pretty good right now with everything.
I actually like the Pyroblast a lot, too. Like, I was adding that like here and there maybe a week or two ago whenever I was messing around with, you know, just the current builds or the Kazakus one that we did for Quest Deck of the Week at one point. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's all for setup, right? The Giants are there just to set up a finishing turn, like maybe a two-turn finish type of thing, right? Once you're freezing everybody, well, you're free, basically.
You also, like, use your removal and kind of, like, use your spells so they get cheaper and cheaper, and then you can have, like, a huge swing turn where, like, you kill some things and then you play the Giants or play a Giant.
I mean, you could play two Giants, a Medivh, and... something ridiculous, you know. I mean, and just get something off of a spell too, all in one turn, if you really, really wanted, which would be pretty sick. So yeah, I mean, I think this is a really interesting deck and seems to fit against what, you know, you guys are talking about with some of the decks that people have been bringing too. If we go back to here, there, I think the other thing I saw was I mentioned a control paladin too. Let me see, Amix has a
control. Amicus, yeah. Is a control paladin.
Yeah, so let me take a look at this one too. I wonder why did I bring this one up? Oh, just because it has Uther in it too. So Uther is definitely a subject or topic of this episode, which we'll be getting to in Underage Evaded. But yeah, you know, why don't we skip that discussion? I guess never mind about this deck, guys. We'll talk about it a little later. Great one. Yeah, anything else, guys?
Taunt Warrior.
Yeah, he also has Taunt Warrior, which Ant was saying.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like a super controller lineup.
Yeah. Like a Nazoth one or like a Quest one? Oh, Quest.
Flat out Quest.
Oh, yeah, it's Taunt. Yeah, not.
But there are two Nazoth Fatigue Warriors.
And they're in the same group.
And they're in the same group, and they're playing round one.
Oh, that's a
disaster.
Oh, that's
the thing that sucks is, like, one has two Dead Man's Hand, and the other one has one.
Oh. What?
Four
Why do you play one?
Yeah,
wow. Okay,
he's going to have to, like, one who plays one is just going to have to get, like, super aggressive somehow. Like, small. So
it's Old Boy and Trunks, I believe.
Yeah.
Trunks. Oh, my gosh. That's gonna be
Firebat was playing it in the mock HCT, and I think like he kind of like just conceded halfway through. There was he knew he was gonna lose because he had the double dead man's hand and his
odd
and like all that stuff.
Yeah,
and like he just like, conceded halfway through. He's like, "There's no way I'm winning this."
That sucks.
I mean, you'd have to tempo that out somehow with the control.
Tempo dead man's hand.
Yeah, exactly. How are you gonna do that, buddy? Okay, so there are definitely potentially very interesting matches that we could see this weekend. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be cool that you get to see it in person. I wonder if they'll have any kind of special effects. And, you know, like at BlizzCon, they have the lights sometimes, right? When it used to be like Yogg or Rag would have a moment, the lights would just go crazy and spin and stuff. I wonder if they'll do that sort of thing in the arena.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
kind of interesting. All right, well, why don't we move on to some news here. We've got some pretty cool news in terms of some skins, as well as Blizzard giving us some packs too. But let's start with the new Warlock hero. So Allie, yeah, like what do you think about this new Warlock? Is it a gnome? Is Nemzy like Necrothizzle?
I don't know if she's a gnome. I think she's pretty cute.
Yeah,
I mean.
I would never have guessed a warlock would look like this.
Yeah, I know, right? When I first saw it, I was like, well, I like it, but I wouldn't have guessed this to be the alternate hero, because I've been wanting a warlock alternate hero for a very long time.
Right, but exactly, right?
I gotta go find a Fireside Gathering to
She's at least riding a ball creeper. That's cool. That's definitely
yeah. That looks really cool.
Yeah,
she actually looks like a badass.
Yeah.
Like if you think about it, she looks like a little badass. Like
yeah, she eating her little she eating her little oranges.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. Don't mess with me.
I want to know what our emotes are gonna sound like.
Oh yeah.
That's really interesting.
Oh wow.
And then what are they gonna do special for the life tap animation? Because you know they make everything a little bit special.
Yeah,
that's true. Maybe orange is flying from her head or something. I don't know.
Ow, every time. You life tap and she says, ow.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Oh my, that would be amazing.
Don't do that.
Oh, that'd be that's so hilarious. Good. But for those of you wondering how you get it, it's not something that you can necessarily get just in the game, just playing normally. So they're going to be available at Fireside Gathering starting October 17th. And this is just yet another thing that we're seeing in terms of the Fireside Gathering initiative. We're just starting to see more and more of it. And this is like a big one. Like you said, Allie, Warlock skin is something that a lot of people have been waiting
for. Yeah, I really
for a
want
long
this.
Time. Yeah, so there's been mixed feelings about just the fact that you have to go to a Fireside Gathering and participate in it. And you'll get this. I think officially it's if you go to a Fireside Gathering, that's you know, a tavern, an official tavern, which means that you have to have done Fireside Gathering, I think three Fireside Gatherings in the past or have a, you know, like an actual event. Then you get your sign, you're actually in a tavern, you know, like an innkeeper and things like that. If you go to one of those official events, then you'll have access to this. As long as three people, I think, are at the Fireside Gathering, then you'll have this unlocked for you when you're there. I think you can actually just play it just being at the Fireside Gathering too, and then it just unlocks for you. So a lot of people obviously asking about Firesides right now. I've had people just already email me and just in my meetup for our Firesides that we host. So I'll definitely answer some. We have some Q&A about it too. So I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but you know, really, really cool. I mean, you guys go to Firesides, you guys going to be trying to get this thing by going to an event nearby?
I'm going to try. I'm going to look and see what Fireside Gatherings are around. I'm kind of curious though. What do you guys think of the controversy? Because obviously a lot of people are kind of upset that they probably won't be able to get it. And I kind of understand where they're coming from, honestly. You know, if they have to travel to get to a fireside. So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I mean, there are like not very many firesides near me.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be like easy to go to though. Like there is one like every once in a while. So, I guess it sucks that you have to wait or like go far for one just to get the skin. I mean, it depends if you really want the skin, I guess.
Yeah, it's harder for me to say because I have so much access to them because not only do I have access to the cave on the East Coast, which is to actually shout out to them real quick. They won the TVT thing, so they're going to BlizzCon. But they host Firesides every week. They host them every week. So it's like an hour and a half drive from my house, which isn't that bad. But on top of that, I also used to host Firesides myself. So like the local store in my area, I got to be like an official tavern. So if I want to, like I can try and host one of these Hollow End gatherings or whatever they're called and make sure that like everyone in my local area gets access to this hero. So it's like harder for me to say whether it's wrong or not because I have so much access to it.
Well, right. That's fair.
Hopefully they make it like these things worth traveling to. Cause like in the past you go to a fireside and like maybe there's like a couple people.
Yeah, that's true as well.
And like, hopefully they kind of, you know, do something where firesides are more like attracted to go to.
And this is a good step. Like getting a new hero is something people always like. So it might drive people out a little bit further than they normally would go to firesides.
Like maybe they're upset they have to travel and they're here like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. I'm glad I came out.
Mm-hmm. Is there a time limit on this? Is it only available for a certain time, you know?
Is it starting on October 7th? Yeah. I don't think it gives a end date.
Because if there is no time limit and it's just anytime you show up to a fireside gathering from, you know, now till years, like, I don't think that's as bad. But if it was like a set window, maybe it would be a little bit more unfair. So,
So the Hallows End, I mean, again, like, we'll try to answer as many questions just because I host fireside gatherings too. And, you know, the Hallows End fireside gatherings are really these Halloween themed ones, which will send you a support kit. That's going to be happening between October 9th and November 5th, but it sounds like it'll always be available. I think the skin will be available just throughout, you know, just forever, or maybe the end of the year or whatnot. So I'm hoping they will be, because I actually don't have time to host one before BlizzCon. So I'm not going to be able to do my fireside until, you know, later in November or maybe early December. So I think I'm, what I know of is that it's still going to be available then. So I've been telling people that, you know, you'll be able to get it once we do that. And in terms of like trying to get people there, I think this overall will probably cause more people to host firesides. You know, if they start seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that's probably the reason.
Definitely a good thing. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a really good thing that they're giving people like something, a reason to go to firesides, like encouraging people to be more social. Mm-hmm. And it's only a skin. It's not like, oh, if you don't go to a fireside, you can't get an expansion. Like, it's not a massive, skin isn't a massive deal. But it is an encouragement to go there. So I think it's a good idea. I think it's good what they're doing.
You can't get Shadow Reaper Anduin unless you go to a fireside.
Oh, I'm already there.
You see like ridiculous amounts of attendance at fireside galleries. Yeah. No, but there are a lot of things that you can do. We'll talk about some. I know there's a question later about ideas for fireside, so we'll get to that in a second. But you know, obviously, very cool that they're trying to mix, you know, these initiatives together, or just trying to help with that fireside initiative. Another thing that they're doing is that they're giving a golden classic pack away next month as part of the Twitch Prime, right? It's the Twitch Prime, you know, goodies or loot that you get, you know, each month if you are part of Twitch Prime or if you sign up that month. So you're going to get this awesome looking golden pack here. And just to clarify, it's not like the golden legendary that we got, you know, previously, you know, where you get a pack and it's like guaranteed gold legend. This one is just every single thing in that pack is gold. So,
okay.
You got to hope to get super lucky, you know, like one of those Reddit posting type of packs so that you can just like totally maximize your value there. But, you know, really, really cool. You know, I think it's one of the better things that we can all get, you know, from an actual Twitch Prime thing. So, yeah, what do you guys think? I'm assuming you guys don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah. It looks really pretty.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the animation now. So excited for that.
Yeah.
I might just never open it so I can just look at it.
Yeah, right.
that might be the play, honestly. That's really good. I didn't think about that.
I mean, does it actually do this animation the whole time? Does it actually do this? I mean, but you have to open it to get the animation, right? Like, you actually. At least this.
No, I'm just saying, looking at it, like spinning
down on the side. Just looking at the shimmering and stuff. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think like the
opening animation.
It's so pretty.
Like the golden kappa.
It's totally pretty. totally good. Yeah. So, anyways, if you're not already a part of Twitch Prime, or you know, think about it, because you could get some golden cards there. And if you already are, then just make sure you go to the Twitch Prime page every once in a while and check to see what kind of loot you have. I know I'm kind of bad at that, to be honest. I always have to go like every couple months or something and remind myself to look. Another thing that has to do with golden cards and this particular case, we're talking about legend, is that the BlizzCon virtual ticket loot has been announced too. And in terms of Hearthstone, there's usually like a bit of loot for every single game. So for Hearthstone, we ended up getting a golden legendary. So if you do sign up for the virtual ticket, you will be getting a, you know, just a golden legendary that's, I guess, just put into your account, right? Or I forget how that showed up last time in the UI. Do you guys remember? Like, it wasn't a pack, right? It was just, it just shows up, right? When you log in or something like that, right?
Probably.
It was something like that before. But this is really cool, because if it's not a repeat, it's super cool.
So for those of us actually going to BlizzCon, though,
yeah,
it means we won't be getting it.
No.
That's Batman. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
I was just giving my virtual ticket away. So now I have to think about like keeping it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right,
I'll take that back.
I guess the question is, which golden legendary would you want if you were to get one?
Alec here? Mm-hmm. I think Alec here is my favorite. I wouldn't play it, but it looks cool.
I think I have a golden Alec here, actually.
I don't know. That's a good question. I have a golden Antonitis, so I've got my golden fireballs. So I'm covered in that department.
Yeah, I'd have to say Golden Yog.
Golden Yog. Wow. Golden
you
Yog.
Would, Jackie.
Yeah, I know. You totally would, right? I would say, I mean, I would, do I have a Golden Lich King? Gosh, I never use the golden cards because I never have enough to like make it look really cool, but it might have to be the Lich King if I don't already have it. Shoot, I have to look again. It's gonna be a big card, whatever it is. I can't think of a small card I would want a golden one of. So it's definitely one of the
Millhouse. Golden Millhouse. Yeah.
Golden Millhouse.
Nat Pagel.
No, definitely not. Nat Pagel.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, that's obviously a really cool thing too that Blizzard's giving out. You know, like all that. All of us or all the community complaining about Blizzard not giving us anything. I think we're starting to, in the last year, I think we've gotten a lot of stuff from them. So hopefully that's definitely going to stop. Another thing about BlizzCon is that the Music Act was announced. And
yeah.
Muse is actually playing at BlizzCon, which is really, really cool. It's actually a band that I would actually go watch compared to a lot of the other bands that they've hired in the past. I just kind of pass on. But any of you guys big Muse fans?
I like Muse.
Sidonia.
So yeah, Sidonia
is really happy. Is it? Yeah.
Oh, is he? Is he a huge Muse fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
I haven't listened to them in ages, but I've got a couple of their albums. I used to listen to them. Yep. So
yeah, definitely good. Yeah, I haven't listened to any of their recent stuff, but yeah, some of their old albums are awesome. So that's going to be happening on Saturday. If you guys want to check that out. And last thing, the new social feature was added to Battle.net, or at least the beta version of it. So some folks can enable it and give it a try. And for those of you wondering what that is, that's kind of similar to, say, like having Discord, you know, within the Battle.net client, you know, that sort of thing, having groups and your ability to kind of connect with people that you play Blizzard games, or maybe across a bunch of them. So I wanted to ask you guys, do you think you guys will use it? You know, I know like Ant and Dr. J, you guys are always in, you know, what's equivalent to like pro talk, you know, like just a bunch of the pros always talking to each other. And you guys probably use Discord and Skype or whatever it is. You think you would use like this Battle.net group stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it depends like how many other people are also willing to change to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's usually fine. I know before they had like voice in the client and it's like doesn't work for somebody. Nobody. Like I was never able to talk whenever we tried to make a group. I don't know. If it's good enough, I wouldn't mind changing to it.
For me, probably not. Like, I mean, it's like if everyone, like Ann was saying, everyone changes to it, like I'm forced to change to it as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think Discord's just beautiful in all its glory. So
Discord is beautiful. Wow, I don't think I've ever heard that. That's cool.
Really? I think Discord is beautiful. Like yeah, I remember the days where I'm trying to log into the thing and it's awful.
Yeah. No, I mean, Discord is very, I mean, clearly we're using it right now. So, no, it's definitely great. And it has like the video thing now too, right? So I feel like that's what it's competing against. Ali, could you ever see like your community using a social net or a Battle.net social feature thing over something like Discord or?
Maybe. It's the same concept as Dr. J and Ant. If everyone else is willing to adopt it, then sure. But is it offering anything better or more than Discord? Because I feel like you need to give, you know, some kind of incentive to get everyone to switch over. Because, you know, I have my channels all set up and everyone's acclimated there. So maybe never say never, but as of right now, I probably won't use it.
I mean, you can have avatars. So you can have like one of your maybe avatars from one of the games. But I think right now there might be just too much overlap. It's a good direction though. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it.
That's true.
Yeah. But they do need to do something like, I mean, an example would be, it'd be cool if you could set up pugs, like Overwatch pugs, for instance, really easily through, you know, just creating groups, you know, like if you have 12 people or something in a group, you can just start game or something. Hearthstone too. Same thing. If you could just like generate a quick game with just your friend, like you, instead of messaging him, it's like start Hearthstone game or something like that. I mean, that might work too, you know, that could be cool.
I mean, maybe like they could always, I was just thinking about it. Maybe they could also set up, you know, how like you have to go to select taverns to do certain tavern brawls, like the fireside brawls or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Like maybe they incorporate in a way where you could have special brawls if you're part of a group.
Oh yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be good.
That's definitely a good implementation of it. Yeah. But on top of all of this, you know, kind of social group stuff, you can now appear offline, which a lot of people were very happy about that. Yes, so hide from all of... You can just, you know, be a total lurker and, you know, from now on if you want to be. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Totally good. But yeah, check that out too, guys. It's in beta right now. So, you know, if you want to... I believe it's still in beta, right? Yeah. I think it's in beta right now. So if you guys actually want to try it out and maybe even comment on some things that they can change, you can do that now. All right, guys. Well, I think right now we want to, again, remind you guys that this episode is brought to you by Great Shoes. And Great Shoes, never heard of them. They're this awesome company, sneaker company from Brooklyn. It's actually Brooklyn's first sneaker company. And they sell all kinds of styles. So like modern, just a lot of styles that all the kids are wearing right now, as well as some like athletics styles and definitely lots of them. So if you go to greats.com, you can definitely see a variety of them. Good prices, of course. Tons of different colors, and you can customize it. All the sizes are there too. We actually, me and Allie actually have our pairs now. That
got a pair here.
So you got black. I got white. It's kind of blinding white because of my my light here. But they're super comfortable. I mean, they're leather, at least the ones that we got. Right? I think we got the same kind, just a different color.
Yeah. No, you can tell they're really high quality.
Mm-hmm. High quality.
I'm jealous, man.
I know Jackie's kind of gotten screwed here, but he's going to get his by the time we get to
Switch. Yeah, I'm getting mine next week, so yeah. Looking forward to rocking them.
Definitely rocking them. But yeah, you can get 15% off right now if you go check out using the promo VALUE, because we're Value Town, capital value. And I think it has to be capped, so make sure you capitalize just in case. And yeah, you can get $15 off. So go to greats.com. Definitely get that right now. And let me know if you guys, you know, end up getting a pair. Maybe tweet us, send like a picture of it. That'd be awesome. And you know, really enjoying it too. And you know, a funny story is that I went to PAX West, and I was working the Twitch stage because we were doing Streamer Showdown there. And Rachel, those of you that might know Rachel Seltzer, she's hosted a bunch of Hearthstone stuff. And you see her all around. She's a host for a bunch of stuff. She's a good friend of mine. And, you know, Twitch has that show that's called, it's like a shoe show. It totally talks about shoes, right? So they were doing that. I forget what it's called now. Like, I kind of feel bad. But anyway, so shoes are a big topic amongst like a lot of the Twitch employees and stuff. So Rachel comes like, Chris, you know, I'm a good friend, right? And it's like, yeah, it's like, I gotta tell you, buddy, you got like dad shoes. I'm like, what? You got total dad shoes, man. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm like, all right, so I need to go home and I need to figure out, like, all right, I need to get some shoes that are cooler shoes, right? And she's just totally bullying me into this, you know. I'm just kidding. No, so this
convenient timing.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Greats ended up reaching out like right at the right time. So they sent me some cool shoes. So I'm definitely going to be sending those out next time. I mean, just sporting them, you know, over at TwitchCon and BlizzCon. So really, really cool. But thanks a lot to them. They are awesome. And, you know, just let them know if you appreciate them sponsoring the show too. Okay, well, why don't we go into Underrated and Debated, which is a segment that we do where we just pick a couple cards. Maybe people aren't playing. Mostly people aren't playing. And we just kind of do a quick analysis on it, whether we think people aren't playing it because it's just, you know, you're debated, you're just bad, or if it's maybe something that people aren't looking at super closely just because there's a lot of, you know, very popular concepts that are, you know, doing super well in the meta. So today we've got Uther and Tar Creeper to talk about.
Lurker.
Oh, Tar Lurker. Why did I say Creeper? Tar Creeper clearly is good.
Clearly not underrated.
Yeah, Tar Lurker. So, Allie, you wanted to talk about Tar Lurker first, right?
Yeah. So I actually got Tar Lurker in one of my October Brawl packs. And so I was basically forced to use it. And as I was using it, I mean, it's really good against Priest because it's got 4 attack when it's active. Mm-hmm. And also in general, I just sort of feel like Control Warlock, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, is starting to become relatively strong. Like Defile is an amazing card, you know, and Tar Lurker, I think, would be amazing against aggro. So I think as future expansions come out, I think Control Warlock's definitely going to have a place. And I think Tar Lurker is a pretty solid taunt to add in for, you know, anti-aggro stuff. So thought it might be a little underrated.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Like Tar Lurker, you know, plus three attack against priests and stuff. That's pretty good right now, right?
I don't know. The thing about Tarlurker is it just feels like I think it's not necessarily that Tarlurker is bad, as in Tar Creeper is so good.
Right, yeah.
Like that you just don't necessarily have to play Tarlurker. Like a three five for three is like insane.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I mean, like a 4/7 taunt for five is, you know, it's good, but it's no like 3/5 for 3 like Tar Creeper.
Yeah. It's I feel like it's also like when you get to that stage of the game, like turns five and later, you're really trying to. You have so much early game AoE, you clear the board early, and then once you get to this stage of the game, you're not necessarily trying to stop the aggro deck from constantly getting at you. You're more trying to play something to end the game. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see the inclusion of like Twilight Drake is really good just because of the body on it. Mm-hmm. It can combo with Face of Shambler, Mountain Giant. Mm-hmm. It's just like they're better minions to play to kind of beat their opponent. So yeah,
like Despicable Dreadlord.
Yeah, exactly. Also,
like a good aggro or like good against aggro, like comes back with Gul'dan.
Yeah, I agree. So maybe it's debated. Maybe it's debated.
Well, Tarlurker's only a 4/7 half the time too. You know, so it if you really do take the average between it, it's probably understated. But Jackie,
I mean, I think Tarlurker is a good card, but I think it's only good in specific situations, right? Because it's very defensive. Mm-hmm. So if you're playing it, you have to be playing a deck that has some really good late game value to be able to beat control. Because it's purely like as an anti aggro tool, it's amazing. But it's terrible against control. So I would say it's probably a little bit underrated, but it just has a very specific purpose.
Right.
Definitely.
Okay, we got
Warlock already has like so many like really good anti aggro things as well.
True.
It's like do we need Tarlurker on top of that?
I mean, Warlock is kind of just like the anti-aggro class. Like, it's
very true.
How do you make it beat control?
Yeah, probably not with a 1/7 now.
Probably not.
Okay, so it's somewhere in between, you know, and there's definitely some parts where you could play, and you know, obviously against control decks is not very good. So somewhere in, I think, in the middle there. So Uther of the Ebon Blade. So we're talking the DK for Paladin. I think this was one that was rated a little bit higher when it first came out, and then nobody played it for a long time. And then now we're starting to see it kind of pop up again. And Jackie, I think this week you were playing it, and then we even touched on it briefly earlier, you know, with the control deck by Amicus. So, talk about this. Like, is this good right now?
I haven't played the Paladin Death Knight much at all. Until recently, but I just wanted to try out the kind of Exodia list where you actually get the OTK. So you're playing like Burgly Bullies to get coins and like Auction Master Beardo. Mm-hmm. And I actually like a 60% win rate with it. Like I was actually surprised how well it was really, really good against Priest in particular. And I feel like the Death Knight is actually really strong. Like what you're getting for 9 mana is you're getting 20 healing and 15 damage for 9 mana.
Yeah.
Obviously it's over 3 turns. On that.
Yeah. No question, but that's good. Yeah,
I think it's very good.
So, have you ever won with the Four Horsemen? I mean, like
lots of times.
That scenario, the scenario.
That's the only way to win, Chairman.
Yeah.
I must be terrible at it because I've never done it before. So I've actually still never seen the animation for it. Is it amazing or
really?
Is it
cool? I have to say, the animation is slightly disappointing.
What?
Yeah, it's
really
kind of lackluster, yeah.
Oh, like that's the Four Horsemen. Oh, come on, man. That's like the Four Horsemen. There should have been something amazing for that, really? Okay. So, all right. So it's a normal thing to win that way, right? Okay, I didn't realize that. Because you can get cards that you can cast the Hero Power twice, right? And that's the...
Yeah, I mean, you get like coins in your hand with the Burgly Bully, and then you use Auction Master Beardo to reset it, and you create four and win the game. Like, if you have two coins and a secret in your hand, then you do it in one turn.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't actually realize you could do it in one turn, man. I'm a bit out of the loop with the Uther here.
But I mean, I think it's a good card, like, without the, like, even in just a normal control Paladin, like, just standalone. I think it's good like that as well.
Okay. Do you guys think the Hero Power scales well, though? Like, I mean, obviously a 2/2 is just good. You know, pretty good value compared to some of the other normal hero powers, and I think that was one of the ways people were looking at. But as the game goes on, you know, like tens, you know, turns 10s, turns 15. 2-2s don't matter as much when you get to that point, right?
Like, it's 2-2s that they have to deal with, though. It's kind of, they can't just, like, leave them up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
If they didn't have to deal with them, it'd probably be average, but,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
I think the only thing, like, that's keeping this down is probably just, like, Priest and Jade Druid. So, like, rotation happens, and this might be, like, something that jumps up, like, a lot in value. Mm-hmm. It's really well, like, it's just really good.
Okay. So, maybe underrated, then, I would say. And just generally for a scale. Okay. Yeah, that would that'd be pretty wild if it was everywhere and people were winning in that fashion, that four horseman fashion. Oh man.
I thought this was gonna be one of the strongest Death Knights when we first.
Yeah, I think a lot of people rated this pretty high. Yeah. So,
and I still think it is strong, but it's not as strong as the others right now.
Just need a good support it's just a support deck behind it. And right now Paladin's not the strongest, even though we see some aggro ones starting to pop up. That's pretty cool. All right.
I mean, it's mainly the meta. Like control Paladin just gets wrecked by, like, Jade Druid and killed from 30 health by priests. So.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Okay, next up, we want to, let's see, why don't we talk about, we want to do Mechator's Workshop real quick. We got three cards from two of our patrons, I believe. And these are, so for those of you that don't know what we do with Mechatorx Workshop, we have various patrons and fans, and sometimes we also provide cards where they send them in, take a look at these custom cards, some ideas that they've come up with, and just have some fun with it. So the first one we have is Tailspinner. So this is a legendary card. It's a force mana 2/6. At the beginning of each turn, they summon a 1/1 copy of a random minion. So yeah, baseline is just a 1/1 anyway, but you know, you could get bonus of something crazy awesome, right? Like
any minion.
Yeah, any minion. It could be like Lich King. It could be you know,
that's Yasuraj
Penguin. Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like the majority of the time you're not going, you're just gonna get a 1/1. You know, there's more cards in the game that don't have a end of turn effect or a death rattle, right? So
yeah.
Still decent stats for the.
That's true.
Yeah.
For 3/7.
Yeah.
Your opponent gets more of a benefit than you, right? Because they get the minion first.
Wait, I think you play it, and then they get one more.
I read that completely wrong.
Both people get the 1/1s. Yeah. So there's a chance that he even leaves it up on purpose for I don't know what reason. You know, like he's a shaman or something. I don't know. You just leave it up. Yeah, give me another 1/1. That's cool. No,
do you mind just playing this and then your opponent just gets a Tyrion instantly? It's like, oh my god.
Should it be at the end of each player's turn?
That would. Yeah.
How would that work? Because then they wouldn't want to kill it. Okay, so then maybe that would make it better then.
I think if it was at the end, it would be better. But it might need to be better, given that it benefits both parties.
I feel like summon a Doomsayer though at the end of the turn.
Yeah, but that's very rare. I mean, we're talking like one out of like 300 or something like that. I think that's fair. That's fair that can happen every once in a while. I mean, I like it. I like the fact that there's a card that generates a minion each turn for each player. I think that concept is generally cool. Yeah. Okay, cool. The next one we have here is the Gorgon Queen, I think it's called. Yeah, Gorgon Queen. It's a legendary, 6 mana, 5/3 body, battle cry, turn target creature to stone. It can no longer attack or be targeted. So it turns into a statue. It turns into a seed, basically. You are now a seed. No. Yeah, so this removes it. I mean, if it can't be targeted... I mean, it should probably be, you can't be targeted by spells and stuff, right? Because if you can't target it, you can't silence it either.
Yeah.
I mean, it could die to AoE.
Yeah, but it's not...
I mean, maybe if you want it there, you can still give it, like, taunt or something. I don't know.
But then how would you...
Okay, that's true. It's true. You could do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I think it would be better if you just
the ultimate counter to Death Knight Priest. You play Mindbreaker and turn it to stone, and then they can never touch it. Never
oh my god.
Oh, wow. That's wow. That's true.
I guess I was still that of horror, though.
Yeah. That's true. So it's pretty interesting. I think, you know, taking up a slot, too, like in on your opponent's board, can be an interesting thing, too. So, you know, especially ones that go wide. Maybe if you take an extra slot, like the Bloodlust is one less, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of just some possible ways that
I mean, would I think really hurt them. Gonna much more likely like want to use it on your own minions, right? Like minions that have a really powerful effect, like Rag Light Lord, and then they just can't touch it. It heals you forever.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it too. Holy smokes, that would be amazing.
You going wild, Chanman? All right, here you go. You're going wild. Oh, you got Bran, Shadowcaster, and Gorgon Queen.
Oh god.
And then you Shadowcaster Gorgon Queen and keep Gorgoning their minions until their board is full.
Oh my god.
And then you just
dude. Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's the play.
That would be awesome. That'd be really awesome, dude.
Oh, they need to print this card now.
I know, right? Oh my god. You have to turn your Bran to stone first, right? Just so it's harder for them to kill it too, right?
That's fair. Yeah.
He's like, you make sense. Your Bran, then you have Bran forever almost.
You can also target Meat Wagon so they can't pull anything out the deck. Oh, and it's counterplay to Meat Wagon.
Meat Wagon counterplay.
That's what we need.
So you go vegetarian.
Yeah, we should call it the Vegetarian Queen. That's what it should be. That would be amazing. Totally. Okay, well, this is a cool card. Yeah, I like this concept. Totally like it. Better than turning things into sheep, you know, and stuff like that. Let's see. The next thing we've got is, I think it's pronounced Alim, the Peacemaker, which is a shaman card, I believe. Yeah, shaman card. 5 mana, 3/6, battle cry. Give all other minions. After this minion attacks, freeze it. So.
Wait, isn't that the... Oh, no. So it's taking the giant... Oh, what's the card... The Snow Fury Giant?
No, it's like the 6 mana elemental guy.
It's the 6 mana Robbie. 8, right?
Yeah.
What so is it's it? Giving that effect to all of this?
Oh, the 6 mana 8/8.
Oh, you're talking about
Frozen Crusher. Frozen Crusher, yeah. That's what it's
called. Yeah, there you
Frozen
go.
Crusher, Frozen right. Crusher, yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah. Yeah, basically doing that, but you're doing that to all the minions. So,
interesting.
Shaman definitely has synergy with freezing stuff, right? Because they have removal cards and things like that have to do with frozen targets.
Morabi. Fun card.
Yeah, totally. I think this has some potential. I mean, this seems to be something that could fit into the current, you know, existing shaman, you know, like what they've already decided.
Yeah, because I feel like the whole freeze shaman archetype... It doesn't have, you know, I don't know, anything to support it really. So maybe a card like this could help.
Yeah, I mean, if you were trying to make a freeze shaman, you'd definitely put this in it because the effect is actually pretty good. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, would you just play this if you were playing like a control shaman? Would you ever just put this in?
Probably.
Well,
you might. It's like a decent body.
Hang on.
I don't think it would be a
control. I don't know. That's interesting. Right?
Like, it would be more of a... I mean, you'd be competing... You'd want it in a deck where you're competing for tempo, right? In a control one. I don't think you... You just remove it. Like, why would you freeze everything and have them still be
able
to
hit what's
you?
The point of freezing? Yeah. You know, like,
just to, like, buy a bit of time, right? Oh, I don't know.
Like, you're going to, like,
zoo. Your own stuff, though. Like, you don't want to...
Just so you can get cards from a Robbie.
That's <true. laughs> He's all about the Morabi, man. Yeah.
I love Morabi. I remember
you
one
would
time,
draw a ton from Morabi. That's
true. I remember one time I was playing against a value freeze mage and I was shaman and I evolved into Karen. It was Karen Bloodhoof, Savannah Highmane, and Morabi. And they wanted to frost over my board so bad, but they couldn't.
Yeah. Oh god.
Oh man, that's brutal.
Jesus.
Okay, so pretty interesting card too. I think freezing the board, the concept of not freezing the board, but it's like this delayed freeze and some decision making. I'm always going to be all for making more complex turns like that. is an interesting addition to it. So thanks to Raydan and Shane F. Shane F. actually did this one. Raydan did the other two for you know, bringing those to the table here and showing us, and or at least coming up with some imaginative cards. If you guys are interested in sending some in, go ahead and send those to valuetown@chamanv.tv, and we'll take a look at those. At this moment, we want to give a shout out to just all our patrons, all the folks that support the show. You guys are the foundation of why we're able to even do this show, just because of all the, you know, the pledges that you guys make on the Patreon. So if you guys are interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/valuetown. And we always like to take some time each and every week to give some shout out, get some love to our, some of our awesome patrons. Obviously our, legendary producers, Mike T, Rami S, Marshall O, you guys are amazing. And David H, Davin P, William C, Gary D, Vince F, Alex F, Bruce W, Jonathan V, Michael V, Morashti, Zach M, and Steve K. Thanks so much, guys, for doing it. And we're going to take a break from Smilestone. You know, I think what we've decided is we'll do Smilestone like once a month, because some people have been wondering about like the fact that they can't see Smilestone and things like that. So we're going to work it back in, like maybe like every so often. And we do definitely do appreciate, you know, making the milestone, because we still have actually made the milestone. So we'll either come up with something different, or we're definitely going to do Smilestone like, you know, like once a month or something like that, just so it, people don't get too tired of it, because we don't get tired. anyways, moving on, we've got another thing which we've been starting to do, our segment, which is Host Challenge. And Ant and Dr. J, you guys probably don't know about this, but we issue a challenge to the Twitch chat each week to pull off like a certain feat. And this last one was, let's see, this last one was win a game with a 50-50 or create a 50-50 minion on the board. And we actually had three people pull it off. First one here, we've got, who is this? Gosh, I have to see. So the first one is Equist. So Equist pulled off a 50-50. It's like a Malagus, right?
Malagus.
Yeah,
wow,
Malagus.
That's a pretty looking Malagus.
How do you get to fit? So you have to get to 25, right? 25. So three. Okay, so you have to get 11. How do you get 11 on Malagus? And maybe he did a little bit of damage first. Yeah, it looks like he got injured, right? So we figured 50 would be a hard number. Do you guys think 50 would be a hard number, guys? Interfire device, all that good stuff?
Probably not. I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on what, like, if it's exactly 50, maybe it's hard.
Yeah, it has to be exactly 50. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you just pick, like, a minion that... No, 15, because 15 is an awkward number for a priest to divine spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we thought it'd be fun. So so Equus pulled it off right here. Raydan pulled it off right here on a. Is that an Emperor Thorazan?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's impressive.
I'm looking at this injured.
Yeah, it is injured, but
yeah, the only person, cool.
The only person that did it without being injured was Darwin K, which. I think he pulled it off here. Yeah, just a straight up 50-50. Oh my god.
Ultrasaur.
Ultrasaur?
Is it?
Oh my god, it is an Ultrasaur.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, no more cards, dude. Pulled it off at the last minute. And he's gonna win on this turn too. So kudos to his rank 25 counterpart for staying. Good sport, man. Total good sport. You gotta love those. Okay, so thanks, guys, for doing that. And I think there were a few other people that were trying but didn't quite pull it off. So this week, our challenge to you guys, and Ant and Dr. J, tell us if you think this is too easy, and we'll make it hard if you think it's too easy. But we concluded that getting 5 Elise packs in your hand would be hard enough to be a host challenge this week. What do you guys think?
Getting 5 Elise packs.
That's pretty
in your hand
hard,
at one time. You have to hold them all at once.
Hold them all at once. You
got like one. I guess like you can only get 3. Well, you get the pack and then 2 Shadow Visions. So you're getting more.
Yeah. Because originally I was like 3. And then Chandler was like, oh, that's too easy.
Brand put 2 in. Then you have 2 Shadow Visions.
See, I would.
That seems pretty hard.
5 seems like a good number, because 4 seems like it'd be easy, but 5 seems like a good number.
Okay, so you don't think it's too easy. Like, I was actually thinking it might be still a tiny bit too easy, but these guys are like, no, 5 is a good number. 5 is a totally good number. So
yeah,
okay.
I mean,
if you guys think 5 is too easy, then
3, and then
but 3 is, come on, 3 is like super easy. Like
I mean, after thinking about it, yeah, yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's
you really can Shadowcaster, Brand Shadowcaster.
Oh, you get Brand Shadowcaster at least. Don't get any ideas from us.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Okay. Well, anyways, 5 Elise packs in your hand, guys. That's the challenge this week. Send your screenshots over to valuetown.championview.tv and we'll admire your amazing feats because we probably wouldn't be able to pull it off. So next up, we've got some questions from our just from emails. So October 20th, I'll be hosting my first ever Fireside Gatherings. Al-Anon is asking from Southern Massachusetts. And I'm looking for some suggestions. The biggest question is how to post about it to attract participants. The game shop where I'm hosting put it on their Facebook. I've added it to local Pokemon Go rating groups I'm also in and hoping for some interest from other gamers. Other than that, I'm convincing my friends to drive down for it. I'm out of ideas. I'm confident I can swing it once people are there, have a good time, and just filling the seats is, you know, obviously the hardest thing. Any suggestions? Anybody want to hop in here? And yeah, because definitely I can tell you firsthand too, marketing it, trying to get the word out, even your local area, is pretty tough because, you know, there's no South Florida subreddit here, you know, where I could just like broadcast like, hey guys, we're doing a, you know, fireside gathering, you know, and yeah, it's definitely not that easy. So anybody have any ideas maybe like you might have seen or maybe somebody, like one of your local innkeepers have done?
I guess you can try going to like other game stores, mm-hmm. and you know, see if you can get some support there, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know how open they would be to that kind of thing, but it's usually like a lot of the other card players are ones that play Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that you could probably try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Allie, like you see anything, like any of the firesides you've been to, like they do anything cool from a marketing standpoint?
Maybe just more social media, possibly. Yeah. I mean, just posting. I mean, going to the Hearthstone Facebook page or just Reddit. So, you know, I feel like someone should actually, here, someone do this in chat. Make like a Reddit thread of cities, you know, and people can comment and attach, you know, oh, I'm hosting one here, you know, on the Hearthstone Reddit or something like that. So,
I bet there, you know what? I bet there actually is one. It's just not publicized very well. So yeah. If somebody
maybe
can find
that.
Yeah. Actually, if somebody can find that, we'll talk about it like next, you know, definitely next episode and try to push that. Because yeah, I think right now there's like just kind of like this assumption or over reliance, or at least Blizzard, you know, I feel like thinks that just the notifications, you know, on the Battle.net client is good enough to, you know, get people to go to these things. But, you know, a lot of people aren't on Battle.net like 24/7, you know, or they don't have Hearthstone loaded on their phones all the time and things like that. So there just needs to be a more consistent way. I don't know about you, Dr. J, but my experience, I'll just tell you right now, is that it's not easy to get like 100 people to your first Fireside. I mean, that's just like miraculous if you can pull that off, to be honest, like on your very first one. But it's one of those things where if you continue doing it, just make sure the people that go to your first one will go to your next one. And if that means like starting up a Facebook page that you have literally everybody that goes there sign up to it there, or it's a meetup page, like I actually have a meetup page that I pay for like every you know, month, you know, and I just make sure everybody that comes to my fireside signs up on this meetup page. You know, we have like over 100 people sign up now, then, you know, you have this like constant communication with these people anytime you do another one. So, you know, they'll email them and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, like, I know when I was trying to run mine, one of the first times we ever did it, the first time I, like, sat out, and this is probably, like, a little bit over a year ago, mm-hmm. One of the first times I tried to do it, I think we got about 15 people, which was, like, all right, it wasn't bad. For trying to do it the first time, I was, like, nice, but then after that, it started, like, going down, and I wasn't quite sure why. I mean, I kind of did the same things. And there's like an active community in my area that like enjoys Hearthstone. They just don't care to go out to these events. And I feel like with this new incentive of the hero, hopefully that changes what they want to do. I know a lot of people, at least when I would go to the cave, more people would go to the Tavern Hero events, just because the cave up there, a lot of the players, because I get to talk to them, they're more competitive and they wanted the competitive aspect. They wanted to feel like, yeah, when they were playing in the tournament, they were like winning something essentially. And it's, I remember going to the cave one time, they had like 30 some people. So that was pretty good, but that was for a Tavern Hero. And then during the regular firesides, they'd get like 12 to 15. So I feel like it all depends on what the incentive is to go.
Yeah. Like I totally agree with that. And you know, I think hosting a tournament is like the most basic thing. We always host a tournament whenever we do it. So whether it's a fun tournament or it's an actual Tavern Hero tournament, I think that's the first step, is to just do that. And then you'll just get your normal competitive players to come. But on top of that, just do some fun stuff. Like, we've been doing eating contests at Buffalo Wild Wings. So we always I mean, they totally sponsor ours too. So they give us all these prizes to give away when they do the ultimate eating challenge. And yeah, we've been doing stuff like that. So you can combine, like, not just Hearthstone related events, combine just fun, you know, contests and stuff with it. And then you'll attract, I think, a wider range of people too. So, yeah, just get creative with it. You know, you're not limited to just playing Hearthstone at these things. Because, you know, if it's just like, let's just talk about Hearthstone, guys, let's get together and just talk, that's not going to do it. that's not going to get people there, unfortunately. Okay, Joe B has another question that's pretty similar. Joe B sounds like he's upset about the new Warlock skin because it's locked behind a fireside gathering. So he's been reading the site. Let's see. Nothing really talks you through the steps of setting up a fireside gathering experience. So my question is, how easy is it to really set up a fireside? Are there costs I might have? And are there sites for people looking for gatherings I can reach out to and get them to come? Okay, so this kind of has to do with the other one too, right? But I think the biggest thing is just how to really set up a fireside. Like, people, I think, might think it's really intimidating. I don't know about you, but I think it's like super easy to set one up, you know, like, because all you have to do is just register it on the fireside site. Then all of a sudden you're on the calendar and you can make the fireside as casual as you want. Like, you can literally just say, hey, let's just meet up at a bar and that's the fireside gathering if you want. Or you can make it super complex, right? And just, you know, organize a crazy tournament and stuff like that. So I think just getting one together is actually not hard at all, and it doesn't even incur expenses. But I don't know. I could be wrong about that, but that's how I started. I just like, hey, let's just do a tournament or just play for a fun tournament together, and that's it.
You know, yeah, like, I mean, it's not. I mean, I haven't actually been to any, but I imagine it's more of just like a casual social environment. It's not a strict, mm-hmm, like, strict or anything. So just do whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never put one on before, so I don't know.
Well, most of the people aren't like legend. Like, I think at my tournaments, I only have like two or three people that are even legend rank. Everybody else is like rank 10, and so they just like enjoy just having the structure just even set up for you, you know. So it's just a lot of fun for people, and but again, it could just be whatever you want it to be. So I hope it's not daunting for people to think about that. You know, if you're doing it only to get the card back, then clearly you can't do that. You have to have at least three of these under your belt before you're considered a tavern innkeeper. So it's not like one of those things that you can just do it real quick and then just get your warlock skin and you're done. You know, they don't want you to do that either. But yeah, I would say just go to the fireside gathering site, just sign up. You know, if you're planning on doing an event, just sign up the event and then, you know, work from there. You know, just put whatever you want together and then maybe jump on the Facebook pages in your local area. Cause there's like a Hearthstone Facebook group, I feel like almost in every state and even country. Like, I remember looking through one time, just doing a search on Hearthstone, and there's just all of these groups. So if you just go down, you know, a few of them, you'll find a few people that'll come to your fireside. It's really cool. Okay. Well, I think that's all the questions we have for this week. So why don't we wrap up? We kind of got through all these pretty quickly, actually. We aren't quite at the 90. We're quite just getting into the 90-minute mark, so really cool. But Dr. J, Ant, you want to do some shout-outs?
Shout-out to everybody who played in my mock HGT.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I'm glad they had fun with that.
Shout-out to Tesla and, I guess, Blizzard or ESL Studios, whoever set it up for allowing myself to cast this week. That was a lot of fun. I know Ant's going to be doing that soon. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Shout out to Ant for being right beside me.
Shout out to Dr. Drew for letting me stay in his room.
You guys are like the dynamic duo. The dynamic meat duo. We'll just call you that.
Dynamic duo. Yeah, man. We're a great A duo.
We're a great A duo. Exactly.
Beef here.
Yeah, there's
no. No, but you can follow these guys on Twitter. It's twitter.com/@ant_HS, I believe, right? And then Dr. Jikaninki, if you are able to spell that okay, you can follow.
Still struggling to.
It's been a year now.
It's like a mental thing. It's like I know how to say it, but it's just like a mental thing. Yeah, exactly. Jack, you want to do some shout outs?
Yeah, shout out to everyone who's using that Void card back and supporting Team Void for October Brawl. Appreciate that. Paid off. And yeah, thank you to my co-hosts and everyone who's watching the stream.
Allie?
I would just like to say that Jackie remembered to say it now in the week where it's like not even going on anymore. thank you to, or shout out to our team, Fate to Karma. Love you guys. Also to the chat, you guys are great. The patrons, thanks for supporting us, allowing us to do the show. And also thank you to our guests, Dr. J and Ant, coming on. Appreciate it, guys. So.
All right, and I'll wrap things up by thanking all of you guys for doing it, everybody for watching, obviously, and of course our sponsor for this episode, Greats Shoes. Thanks so much for sponsoring it, and again, go to greats.com and get your shoes today. Use the value promo, get 15% off, and they'll know you guys are coming from Value Town, and check out all selections. Again, like there's all kinds of whatever type of shoe that you like, you're going to probably be able to find it there. So check that out. They're going to be sponsoring the show for the next couple weeks too. So yeah, really appreciate them for doing that. All the patrons, you guys are awesome. Find the VODs on youtube.com/ChamManV. Any questions for Q&A or Mech Torx, again, email those to valuetown@ChamManV.tv. And we're also available on all the audio channels, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud.com/ChamManV. If you like to listen to us on the way to work, yeah, look for us there and leave us a good rating because it helps out with the SEO. But that's going to be it for Value Town this week. So for myself, ChamManV, and Ant, Dr. J, Ali Shaza, Jackie Chan, and everybody else affiliated with Value Town, we will see you next week. Later.
See you guys.
One thing playing on our minds. Time stops and we don't make a sound. You crave the love I gave.